Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
South African alternative rock band Snowing Down South, originally formed in 2011, was a defining force on campus rock radio, with their breakout single It's Not Your Fault dominating the Tix FM charts for nearly 2 months. They quickly rose to prominence with their distinctive ability to blend American and British rock influences into their raw, dynamic sound. Known for their effortless transitions between subgenres, the band has been described as indie, alternative, and even progressive rock, depending on the listener's perspective. Following their unexpected split in 2015, the members pursued individual paths before reuniting in 2023. The band's latest projects include the new single Birds Above My Bed and EP No Such Place As Far Away. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Gust and Lehan from Snowing Down South.
Where are you guys based and how are you guys doing?
Cool. So
I'll take this one. Okay.
Cool.
Hello there. I'm Lehan. We're happy to be here today. We play in a band called Snowing Down South and we are based in Cape Town, South Africa at the moment. And today I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
And Gust, cool. How are you doing?
No, it doesn't help. Eh? It doesn't help to complain at all. But I just want to add to that story, which is quite interesting. We started in Potchefstroom, a student town, and this was 9 years ago. So now, myself, Leon, and Paul, we are based in Somerset West, or Cape Town, I guess. And Simeon, the drummer, he's our little gypsy guy. So he's currently in the States. And then when he comes back, he stays with us for a couple of months, and then it's in Pretoria for a couple of months. So it's like, you know, managing this is quite interesting. I think that's a nice thing just to add.
How did the name Snowing Down South come? Where does that come from? How did you guys choose that?
Googled.
Really?
Well, we Googled 60s jargon back in the day, and like 60s rock jargon, and we came across this name called Snowing Down South, which is one of the jargons people used back in the 60s, and it sounded cool. So we decided it doesn't really snow and botch, you know, and it's like, okay, cool. Yeah, it sounds cool.
When you Googled it, did it reflect what the meaning was when they used to say it in the 60s? What did it mean?
I guess what it's the meaning of it was is like when somebody's panty label shows and
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was like interesting. But yeah. I guess the name sounded better than, you know.
Yeah. You already referenced that you guys met at university. So pre to that, Lehan first, at what age were you inspired to be cool? I want to be creating music, be in this world. And then how did you meet the guys and what was the next steps of the journey?
So for me, I grew up in a household filled with music. My dad was a guitarist as well. And from a very young age, my brothers also played the guitar. And so from a very young age, we would have like these get-togethers in Potchefstroom, where my dad would invite all of his friends, my brothers would invite all of their friends, I would invite my friends. And then we would have like a 60s, 70s rock show tribute, and we would play CCR and Rolling Stones and things like that. Music started from a very young age, but I never played in a band when I was at school. I always went and watched the bands and I thought like, this is what I want to be and what I want to do for the rest of my life. And it was only after school that I met Gus through Paul, our vocalist. One of our mutual friends brought us together and we started playing guitar together, and the rest is history, as they would say.
And you, Gus?
Okay, so starting out, yes, that was back in the day, 2004. I remember we were sitting in the science class, me and a couple of mates, and it was like, hey, let's start a band. You know, and it's like, I wanted to play guitar back then as well, and nobody wanted to play the bass. That was my way in, you know, to guarantee my spot in the band. It's like, okay, cool, I will play bass.
And okay.
From there, I went through a couple of bands through high school, after school as well. Met Simeon playing in a different band called Alina December, which is an Afrikaans disco core band. From there, he was the vocalist, and he told me that he wants to play the drums. So I've met Paul, and we started jamming, and then met Leon, and then Simeon joined as well. And yeah, we started jamming in my loft there in Poch, and ever since then, people, now we're here. Like Leon said, the rest is history.
Okay, so you referenced that, reading your bio, you guys were playing together in Poch for that period of time, and then you took a 9-year hiatus. Why that hiatus, and what was the instination to say, cool, let's reform and get back together and start creating?
So it was like going through a breakup, you know. It was kind of difficult, but I guess for us, the reason why we had to do it was because we started the band when we were in university, and we were quite rock and roll and kind of crazy. I think we kind of needed to grow up a bit, to be honest, and just become like
adults.
And so basically we split while we were playing because we just didn't feel like, you know, it fulfilled us. And so we took a break, and in that space of time, all of us grew up and we became adults, traveled the world, saw different countries, and then we just had to do it again.
Okay. Anything to add, Gus?
Yeah. So basically covered it. So we moved to different places. We finished our studies at that time as well. And Poch wasn't quite a right place to build, you know, at that time. You know, we've been studying there and living there for quite some time and just want to get out. Yeah, I decided to move to Cape Town. The rest of the members couldn't do it at that time. So from that stage, the breakup wasn't really nice. You know?
Difficult.
Yeah, so we still made music at that time, all of us just playing in different bands, and grew up as well as musicians in a way. You know, I guess I just want to add to how we got back together. Leon came down to visit. I think it was it last year? Year before, right?
Year before, yes. 2 years ago.
2022. Mm. Yeah, so he came down to visit, and it was a nice little reunion. We sat in my car, and I had all of these recordings, phone recordings we had of, you know, our rehearsals. So me, Simeon, and Leon, we were sitting in the car and just listening to these old recordings. And it's like, guys, what are we doing here? Let's start the band. Let's start a band again, you know? Yeah, I guess at that time we just decided, let's do it right this time.
Let's dive into your creative process. So you guys, 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song. What motivated, what invigorated? Are you guys all collaborating together, writing together? Is there one specific person and it goes through a sort of ritual? Let's unpack that creative process.
Generally, what we do, a thing that kind of works for us, is myself, I play the guitar, and the vocalist, Paul, he also plays the guitar. So we've been playing together for a long time. I would say like we have like a good thing that works for us, in the sense that he writes a lot of the music and a lot of the lyrics. He writes all of the lyrics, and then he pitches the idea to us. This is my song in bare form. And then I would sit with him for a while and we would work on it. And then once we feel, okay, this thing is like glued together, it's like it's a product, then we take it to Gus and Simeon, and from there we just keep on building on it. It's not like a singular thing. We kind of find a way to involve everyone's perspective.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs. I know in South Africa for the overseas listeners.
Awesome.
Yes.
We're going to release a CD.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, vinyls, and cassettes, even cassettes, are a massive comeback overseas. In the UK last year, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. In the UK as well, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on those exchanges, they monitor for tax purposes. I'm not exactly sure the process, but because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are back in that basket when they've been out the longest time. Now, the research is showing that it's the younger kids, it's the teenagers that are diving into this world, not the older nostalgic people.
Oh, wow.
But we also know and we also understand that there's a streaming world. What are your guys' observations and perceptions of the landscape at the moment?
Sure. So it's such a process to get that song on all the platforms at first, you know? It's like, especially we didn't have a profile. We only released stuff on SoundCloud back then. And now we're into that world. I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are, but I've heard that the streaming sites, executives, they make a lot of money, but not actually the artists. So I feel like it's probably an easy way to distribute your music, to get it to people. But, you know, these collector's items that's for your fans is what we are about. It's like, okay, cool. We could put the music out there, but here's a CD, or we're looking into doing vinyls as well. That's quite expensive. We have to play a couple of shows first to save up money to get vinyl. Yeah, you know, for us, it's more about doing this, these collector's items, and because we are collectors as well. If we listen to music, we tend to listen to the albums and not quite just singles.
Yeah.
You know? So that would be my take on it. It's like you have to do it in a way because, you know, but is it like really good for income? I don't know. Probably if we had a million, but we don't bargain on that. It's more, we want to cater to our fans, you know, and I guess that would be our way. I was actually speaking to a guy about tapes or cassettes the other day, one of my colleagues, because he's part of this thing called Permanent Records. Just a little shout out there to him, which so he's gave me a couple of info around it, and he said tapes are still, you know, one of the best ways to listen to music as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you gave us that info, maybe we'll release a tape as well. Yeah?
Definitely. Like when we grew up and we listened to music, that whole idea of going to your friend and he brings over a CD and he's like, "Listen, man, I got this. You should listen to this," right? You put it in your CD player and you listen to it from the beginning till the end. And then afterwards you ask your friend, "Could I borrow it maybe just for a week or something?" You know, I feel like we're trying to recapture that feeling, even though it's going to be the most difficult task in the world. But to us, music, that's how music should be shared. And with the current landscape, it kind of, I don't know, it's more convenient listening to music, but I personally feel that, you know, once you give everyone everything on the platforms, it's kind of like no one really tunes in anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
No one really.
It's like disposable.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And for us, it was like sharing the bands that we love. And it's like, "Hey, have you heard this one got a new CD out?" And then we would go out and get that CD.
Yeah.
That feeling of sharing music and some creative or artistic work is, that's what we're all about. So at the end of the day, you know, like with the platforms and everything being quite difficult just to build yourself up, at the end of the day, we feel like we're going to do it for ourselves, for that feeling.
Okay.
Reminiscing about the past. Yeah.
What's up next for you guys? What's happening over the next few months?
Another single. We recorded one. So Simeon also, he's like our producer and mixing engineer. So that song is currently with Simeon in the States. So he's currently mixing it. And then we're going to send it from Austin. And so the whole idea is to build up to an EP. So we're going to do 3 single releases and then the EP release with the CD.
Yeah.
Hopefully a vinyl.
Yeah.
But
let's say there will be a vinyl. Let's just put it out there.
Yes. Let's
put it out there.
100%.
Okay. So, and what do you guys enjoy about performing live?
Yes. What a loaded question. Basically everything. It's like, for me, it's like that nerves in front because you're like a little bit scared and excited. Yeah. It's an exciting time to play it for people, to new listeners and stuff. So it's that vulnerability, I guess. And playing the bass, the best part is like you can feel yourself. Like the whole stage is vibrating. And that just triggers something in me. It's like I just can't stand still.
Okay.
For me, just the thought of playing to a group of people who enjoy live music as much as I do, it's a beautiful thing in this world. And being able to play for people, seeing them enjoy it, that's the best thing in the world.
Okay, so I've got a point of discussion around this. So I'm normally that guy that's right in front. I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two videos, one or two photos, and then I put my phone away. I notice these days a lot of times that people are videoing, they're posting, they're tweeting, they're WhatsApping for a lot of time during the show. From the point of view of being on the stage and seeing potential people doing that, do you find that takes away from that energy, that connection, that being in the moment, or it's just where society is in the moment?
Yeah, a bit of both, because also we need content. So yes. whoever took videos, please tag Staying Alpha. It's a bit of both. That's okay. Sometimes, what I see was quite cool is that people use flashlights, you know, when there's a ballad or something coming on. That effect is quite nice. Maybe there's a way to do it like an interactive type of thing in the future, like with your cell phone, and you can maybe send like scan a QR code and that thing can, you know, do your stage light for you.
Find a way to incorporate it. Because people spend too much time on their phones, right?
Yeah. Like I was at a concert on the weekend, and I noticed people around me, a lot of times they were like, but then they're so excited by the song, but then I look next to them and they're busy like messaging and posting and tweeting. I'm like, hello, the person's right there. They're right in front of you. It's one of your favorite artists, but now you're busy looking at your phone.
Yes.
And you can see it. You can see it in 4D, surround energy, real life. But now you're looking at 2D through your phone. So it's just like, I suppose every person's got their own perspectives and stuff.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah. The way society is currently at, maybe people only relate through looking through their phone screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm also one of those I prefer the 4D.
Okay, so I love this game. I know if I had to ask each of these questions in 10 minutes, 2 years, 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. One of you is going to have a chance to think. So sorry for the person who I'm asking first. So Gus, I'm going to ask you first. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once you finish this conversation, top of mind, not favorites, what would those songs be? And by which artists, if you can't think of specific songs, then just 5 artists that you push play to.
Yeah, okay. Arctic Monkeys. Currently, I'm Humbug. Also, Arcade Fire, The Suburbs is one classic one. But what else am I listening to? See, The Strokes as well. I'm a huge fan of The Strokes. 2 more artists, Royal Blood, Queens of the Stone Age.
Lihan?
No.
I'm going to... Top 5. Okay, I'm going to go with Put On The Suburbs by Arcade Fire. Then maybe something like an oldie in there as well, like Fleetwood Mac. I'm going to go with Fleetwood Mac. And then, of course, a bit of rock and roll. For that, I'll go with Queens of the Stone Age. And then I might feel a little bit down, and then I'll check in with Mr. Elliot Smith a bit, as he's one of my favorites as well. And then lastly, I'll top it off with something just fun and go with Nothing But Thieves.
Nice mix.
Honorable mention, I would say Billy Talent.
So guys, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So Lihan, you first, as a last message to the listeners, what would you like to say?
Hi. Hope you're doing fantastic. We're excited to release, we, Snowing Down South, are excited to release all of our material, and we're going to share it with you, and we hope you enjoy it as much as we do. Thank you for any support that you give us.
Gus, anything to add?
Yeah, how's it, world? Thanks. If you're tuning in, listening to this, thanks for the interest. It's so nice having this group of friends back together and making music, and we're loving it, sharing the music with you, and for you to listen to it as well. And you know, if you got any questions or just want to say hello, just pop in, you know, on the social media. So we're quite a people's band and like to chat.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.